born a killer. I was meant to win. I am down and willing, so I will find a way. It took a minute, now it didn't happen right away. When it get hot in the kitchen, you decide to stay. That's how it winners made. Stick a fork in the hater on my dinner plate. I walk into the fire like it's just a bit.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Clydesdale Media Podcast, where we today are going to talk to new director of elite athletes at Proven, Jarrett Smith. But before we do that, huge shout out to Sue Griffiths. She just became a member of our YouTube channel, and we want to thank her because without you guys doing that, we could not support this show. But thank you so much, Sue, for doing that. Many thanks. With that, let's jump into a little bit of talk with Jarrett, because last time we talked to you, things were very, very different.
Yeah, different location, a lot going on. Yeah, so that was right after semifinals, I think, and we were kind of ramping stuff up for the games. Yeah.
Yeah, so at that point, you were living in Boston. You were coaching at Comtrain. And then all of a sudden, I look at your Instagram, and you're making a statement thanking everybody there for the opportunity they gave you, and that you were moving to Nashville to work with the Proven team. So how did that all come about?
Yeah. It's funny. Like you said, I'll allow them to talk about it. All that happened in the off season. It's really not that much different than what you typically see in other professional sports. I mean, the way I would best kind of liken it to is like, if you're a coach in the NFL and you're a positions coach, like you're a D-backs coach or a linebackers coach, and you get the opportunity to go be a defensive coordinator for another team, it's just like, it's an opportunity that you get a chance to go do and go take advantage of. And I was fortunate enough to be able to connect with Nick over here, the CEO of Proven, ultimately connect with Shane and the team here, have a few conversations, and found that it was a really, really cool opportunity to come over here and be a part of this thing and the thing that they're building. And kind of like you said, it's way less to do with anything that happened at Comtrain, and just a lot more to do with just an opportunity to take the next step in my career and learn some stuff from some other individuals and try and help this lead this team as best I can.
When, and like you said, in the NFL, like if you're a DB's coach and you get a chance for a promotion to defensive coordinator or something like that, you have to consider it.
Yeah.
In addition, if you're going to use the NFL analogy, like you may work under Sean McVay and you want the opportunity to maybe work under someone else with a different philosophy just to expand your own knowledge base. So what I want to ask you is, what has the major difference been since you got to Proven from Comtrain? And it doesn't mean that either are bad. It's just different.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. So again, let's let the NFL analogy keep going. Like, you'll have a coaching tree that you'll typically see, like some NFL coaches, they just produce head coaches and defensive coordinators at other places around the league. And you carry a lot of those principles and foundations that you learn from that coach into every job that you do. And having spent like 3 years up at Comtrain with Ben and before that Harry and that whole culture and environment up there has certainly shaped a massive part of the type of coach that I am, and the way that I work with athletes and build relationships. And not to mention like getting a really good understanding about what that training looks like in those closed door rooms with the elite of the elite in our sport, which was incredible to be able to do. But then, like you said, the other thing is everyone in our space, all the coaches in our space, we all do it similar, but there's a different flavor to each one in the way that it goes. Being here at Proven with Shane and Tia, and you see it when you get a chance to come to this building, the attention to detail and the just unbelievable focus on small things is just, it's on a different level than I've seen before when it comes to the facility, making sure no stone is unturned. It's just been a really, really neat way to kind of learn from them and the way that they've done the process for a long time. And at the same time, like, why would you not want to potentially have the opportunity to come and be in this role and gets a peek behind the curtain of what the greatest CrossFit athlete of all time and her coach have been doing for a while. There's a bunch of different things that made this position and this opportunity extremely appealing. And just like you said, not better, not worse, just different. And I will forever, forever be indebted to Ben, the ComTrain community, CrossFit New England. Like, I would not be the coach that I am today without the opportunities and the knowledge and the experience that I gained from them. And we'll continue to be friends with them for the rest of my career and the rest of my life. And I can't wait to have opportunities to go up there again and see them. But yeah, it's just been a really neat way to kind of peek behind the curtain and see what very few people get to see on a day-to-day basis with how they handle business here.
A quick question from the chat is Proven HQ an affiliate? And I believe it is.
Correct? Yeah. Yeah, 100%. So it is. The setup here is pretty gnarly. So it's similar to CrossFit New England in a way. It's just a little bit bigger and in a different part of the country. So we have one half of the building, which is our pro space. We've got four lanes of a semifinal style rig. We've got everything that our professional athletes need on one side. On the other side, we have another massive, two massive rigs along different ends of the wall for a full affiliate experience here. So the perception is that it could be that this is just our pro training space, but it couldn't be further from that. We have one complete separate side. And then the other side, it's not like this is it's going to sound weird to say, it's not a competitive, a competitor's affiliate or a competitor's gym. It is a CrossFit affiliate that is in Berry Hill in that community of Nashville. And we just happen to have on one side of the building, a couple of the fittest humans that have ever walked on the planet. It's pretty cool.
So that leads me down to one of my next questions, and that is, you come to Proven and you learn that there is a microscope on everything that they do. And with that comes misconceptions. And one thing that I found in the last couple months is Nick and Shane have been very quick to get out in front of it. They're not hiding anywhere from and they go out, they go on Coffee Pods and Wads, they go on different podcasts. To clear the air and to give their side of the story and to explain things so the misconception is taken away. What's it feel like for you coming into this environment and seeing the actions of your leaders?
I love it. I absolutely love it. I couldn't agree with how it's been handled more. And in defense of the media in our space, let's talk about the NFL again. In the NFL, you have 16, 17 weeks of a season, 18 weeks, 17 games in a year. So for that amount of time, the media in the NFL, they get to report on the sport that they are reporting on. In the offseason, they'll talk about potential trade rumors, but everything pretty much goes quiet in the offseason in the NFL. Media team gets to step back when free agent season just like now ramps up. They start to have more stuff to talk about and go from there. Our sport is weird. Like, you guys really have maybe 4 weekends a year to really report on our sport and the things that are going on. So outside of those 4 weekends a year, if we as camps and athletes and coaches aren't available and open and transparent in what's going on in our communities and our camps and being able to hop on shows like this and talk to you guys, it's easy for other things to potentially just get spun up unintentionally. Which is so cool that Nick and Shane, whenever these things do happen, they hop out, get out in front of it, have full transparency in the conversations in order to kind of squash that stuff. And I absolutely love it. I think that we always talk about professionalization of this sport. And I think a big part of that also comes with professionalization of the media and the relationship between the media and the athletes and the coaches and the camps, and like having more clarity instead of us just going behind closed doors for the majority of the season. And it's unintentional because all we want to do is build the fittest humans in the world to compete at the games. But in doing that, we basically stick our head in the sand and shut out the rest of the world. Whereas if we can be more transparent, come on shows like this, have Nick and Shane get out in front when things get spun, it allows for more transparency. It allows for people to know what actually goes on at these places instead of like wondering what's happening. So long answer of, and I've loved how they've handled it. It's been very cool to see, and I couldn't agree more with how they've been handling these things.
So my last compare contrast question is, it seemed when I talked to you last at ComTrain, you had a lot of autonomy with your athletes. You kind of got to program directly for them, work with them. and Ben let you loose on that. Is it similar at Proven, or is there more oversight here?
It's similar, whereas each of the athletes here, they all have certain things that they need to work on and they need to touch. And then between Shane, Dwight Upshaw, one of the other coaches here, and myself, we have conversations every week and basically every day about what these days are looking like for each of these athletes, especially with us coming over here kind of in the middle of their training season. Like, it'd be silly to kind of just completely upend everything and do something completely different. So we have conversations and we find the right places and ways for these athletes to be able to integrate their training together, do pieces together without feeling like they're in the gym competing against each other every single day. And there's a whole lot of other things that we do to try and mitigate the feeling that they're competing every single day, because the training in this sport, I would argue, is probably one of the most difficult training sports in the world to do day in, day out. And if you are constantly feeling like you are competing against the people that you're here with every day, it's really tough to do. So the autonomy is still there to provide our athletes with whatever it is that they specifically need. And then Shane, Dwight, and I find intelligent areas for these things to merge together so that they can run with each other and have a little fun sometimes.
And so how important is it for an elite athlete to have a community, just like Joe Average CrossFitter going to the gym every week? It can get to be pretty lonely if you're just working out by yourself all the time.
I completely agree. Two things. One, I love the fact that we do have an affiliate here, and specifically now that we're like, the open announcement's going to be here tomorrow. And it's chaos out there right now. Like, it is wild, the production that CrossFit brings to do these things. It's very, very cool. But I also love the fact that we're going to have Jay and Sid Wells hop in this workout and have their home. It's, you don't get a home game in CrossFit. Like, they get this one chance to like have a home game where our affiliate community is going to be there to support them. And then the other thing, how hard can it be to train and do this thing by yourself every day? It's always going to be each athlete dependent. Some people really, really agree with it. And you see some athletes in our space who have done it for a very long time at a very high level. Brent, Pat, and like, you see some, and Ariel, who's here now doing the announcement, like, it's worked very well for them. I, however, think that the camp model and the small group training group model is the best way to do this, for a couple reasons. One, if you look at any other individual sport, it's almost always done in a camp setting. The group effect is real. The group effect started with a group of marathon runners, I believe, somewhere up in Boston. They came together, they found out how awesome that was, that you could pull each other along through workouts and get the performance gains from that. What we need to do here, though, is just make sure that, like I said earlier, that they are not feeling that they are competing every day. And we're doing a lot of things here for them to feel like they are supporting each other. They are pulling each other along. And ultimately, if we do this thing right and we do it well, when they get to semifinals, specifically the East, like, and the females in the East for us, hopefully they're in that last heat. They're able to look down the lane, see familiar faces, have a comfort in knowing that their teammates are out there with them and they're competing with their teammates against the test and not necessarily competing against each other. Because if each of them shows up to the semifinal and they all do their job, there's a games ticket there waiting for them. They're not taking it from each other. They just need to show up and do their job. So I think that the camp model and having support amongst your teammates is the way to do it, but it requires a lot of work to build the right culture so that it doesn't become something that's toxic and something that's overly competitive.
So we have another question from the chat, and that is, a lot of camps seem to be a rotating door of athletes. Is that a benefit or something to try and avoid?
That's a great question. I love that. If you were to ask me who I hope is in our doors and in our camp 5 years from now, I hope that it's the exact same athletes that we have here right now. And if we have the bandwidth and the ability to add another athlete or two, if the fit is right, then that's great. But I genuinely think I would rather build the relationship with that athlete, because every year you work with the same athlete, you start to really narrow in the target on how close you can get to optimizing what works really well from them. What I would not want to see for the athletes and for the coaches is hopping around from coach to coach to coach, even if you have what you would consider is a down year, because in most cases, especially with the elite athletes that have, they're already at the tip of the spear, a full flip the table over approach for their programming may not be the best approach for them, when in reality, it may just be a small adjustment here or a small adjustment there that you make over time, over a number of years, that really allows them to optimize their performance and go that route. So I think it would be better suited if you're able to keep the core of your team together, just like in any pro sport, keep the core of your team together for as long as possible, understanding that this is professional sports. Some people are going to go and some people are going to come, but what I want to do here, I have no interest in this being a rotating door of athletes coming and going. And I have no interest of this being anything more than us being able to provide the high level of coaching and relationships that these athletes need and deserve in this sport. And we're only going to grow this camp at the rate that we still have the bandwidth and the ability and the time to still provide these athletes with what it is they need to be great at.
So as director of elite athletes, is it your responsibility to make sure that all the needs are met?
Yeah. So it's, yes. So in-house, it's pretty easy to do. I have conversations with these guys every day, and we have a couple of teen athletes here as well, which has been really, really fun to kind of build that relationship with reuniting and getting to see Riley again. I worked with her years ago before she moved to Nashville, and getting to meet RJ, another really fit, talented kid here. And then on top of that, the athletes that we do have that are remote, making sure that they feel like they are paid attention to, that they are not out in the wind, because we have people all over the world. We have Kalyan, who's a Brazilian athlete, but he's overseas. And then Nick Matthew and Colton Merton and Olivia. So it's making sure that all those athletes do feel that they are receiving everything they need to perform at their very best.
So you have athletes in your camp that are almost mythical, right? And when I say that, I'm like Olivia and Colton, right? They have gained this big following before even success on the floor, per se, right? Because of Colton and the pig farmer and the hard work and overcoming the height obstacle and all of that stuff. And then Olivia, this teen girl that like can lift a house and can do things that most teenage girls can't do. And it grows this mythical legend behind them. Coming to a camp where you have the greatest female athlete in the history of the sport, maybe athlete overall in the sport. Does that help? Because she's been through all that stuff and can assist with kind of that exposure that you get through that?
Yeah, and just to kind of reiterate what you said there, like would be a two-time multi-sport Olympic athlete if the rules for bobsled weren't so weird for her over there. But yeah, like she's incredible. And getting to be here and have conversations with her and Shane, it's been really, really interesting just how, like for being as successful and as dominant as she has been, how willing to help and be involved in conversations and be involved in the things that we're doing here, to want everyone else to be better and to want nothing but like happiness and fulfillment and longevity in their career for everyone that's here. It's a real genuine thing that you get from her when it comes to supporting these athletes and being available for any questions. And you don't know what you're going to get from someone until you get to meet them, specifically someone who's been that dominant. I've always been someone who's thought that that level of dominance, it's hard to have that in any endeavor in life and still have some balance on the other side of that, because I mean, you hear of other elite athletes in other sports that have some demons that because the imbalance has just been so hard, but you don't see that from her. It's really been a pleasure and a joy to get to know her and see how willing she is to be there for every single person in the camp.
When you say other sports with demons, but I think we're facing it in CrossFit right now.
Yeah.
We have, I think we're up to 12 or 13 female athletes that competed at the games last year are not competing this year.
Yes.
In the individual side. Like, and to have someone who has been steady for so many years as your mentor and coach and whatever else other hat she wears, has got to be a huge asset.
It is. And what you brought up, this, it's almost like an epidemic of overstressed athletes in our sport and why that is happening. And I think a big part of it is a lot of athletes, I don't know, it's just, there's something about our sport. It's such a hard sport to train for that you have to be able to find a balance and enjoyment in what you do. I think there's so much else that you have to look at internally in order to be able to handle the pressure and stress of the daily training in our sport. And then the fact that our athletes, only, kind of like I said about the media, like our athletes get really, like these athletes, they get one weekend a year to do their sport to potentially make it to the game. So that semifinals weekend carries, and it carries just so much to all these people that we have to do more work behind the scenes in order for them to perform free and not feel stressed, because a stressed athlete will not perform. It will not happen. They're going to, when the margins are so narrow at these things and everyone's fit, if you are 2% down from where you feel you can be, it's going to be a fight to punch your way through. So we do a lot of work and have a lot of conversations here about properly defining success and what it means to these athletes, defining why they train, defining why they compete. And when you identify a lot of the reasons, and it goes back to the old adage, like, what's your why? But like, separate that into some more specifics. And it gives these athletes something to lean on so that that stress is not so overwhelming every single day that they get to a point where it's like, they just need to step away and back off. And it's just like, I hate to see good people and good athletes feel that level of stress and pressure. And I just want to help them have the tools to be able to manage it and understand it so they can continue to do the thing they love and not resent the thing that they love so much that got them into the sport in the first place.
So 2 points on that. One, I believe this podcast is a semifinal podcast. We dive more into the semifinals than anybody else in the sport.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
When I get to semis, I'm a nervous wreck because I've met all these people and I want the best for them. And I can't even imagine being the person, because I'm a wreck after getting to know them all and hearing all their stories, right? The other thing is, you walk your talk. And you know, I've interviewed a lot of people. You know, we're at close to 1,000 episodes now. And a lot of people say the things you're saying right now. But if you go to your Instagram, when you are congratulating your athletes, I use that term loosely, like Sid wins TFX. Your post was congratulating the other two podium athletes and not really focusing on Sid winning. When you made a post about Lucy, not once did you mention she won the games. It was about all the other stuff around it that you were so proud of her about. And so when you're not defining success by the finish or the podium, or that you are truly living that creed, because in your own posts and in your own life, you're not focusing on that. You're focusing on the person.
Yeah, winning is not what we talk about on an everyday basis. Winning is not the ultimate goal. Winning is not something that I'm going to look back 20 years from now and be the focus point. And then on the other side of that coin, I think it was a John Wooden quote. It's like, I won't know if I've done my job well for another 20 years. Like, I want these athletes to be able to look on back on this time in their life and this experience that they got to have, and be grateful and thankful that they got the chance to do it and do it. And like me just being able to be their coach to be through it as well. And the catch to that is, if you really, really, truly buy into that, where I don't measure success based on what the leaderboard is at the end of the weekend or who's at the top of the podium, but by all the other little things along the way, and how I define success for myself and how they define success for themselves, by buying into that, you will end up reaching those big goals that you set for yourself, because it is a freeing way to go through life so that you don't have this pressure and stress. When we talk about the goals, though, and this is something that I did pull from Ben when I was up there, he said, when you have these big goals, like, don't pretend that they're not there. Don't pretend you don't want to win the games. Like, I understand, like, that would be silly to pretend that that's not in the conversation. But it's like, put it up on a shelf. Like, imagine you're in your room and you have a shelf up on your room. Take that goal, put it up on the shelf. Take a look at it every once in a while. Let it guide some of the processes and the steps that you're going to do in your life in order to kind of set yourself up for that. But it shouldn't be the thing that's in your mirror every day that's driving you, because success is so fleeting. Like, you can ask people who have won the games. That moment is incredible. But like, 2 weeks after, it's just like, it's not there anymore. And you can talk to Jordan and you hear from Kobe. Like Kobe said, the process is the dream. Showing up to training every single day, that's the dream. The success is a very cool thing, but it's so fleeting, and it's not fulfilling at a way that's going to really hit you where it matters. And if you buy into the other stuff, you end up somehow, some way, getting closer to that big goal that's on the shelf up there. And I truly, truly mean that, for sure.
Well, and like I said, in the example, Lucy did win the games last year. Sid did win TFX. Like, that is a byproduct of caring about the individual in more than just as a person to podium.
And the TFX one, like, giving credit to the other two athletes that were there, it's just, it was Casey and Abby. Like I want them to also know, whether or not they ever see the post or they care at all, like they should know, like, how fun it is to just get on the floor and compete. And that weekend was a competition. Like, they were haymakers left and right between those guys, like, going for it. So it's like, know that, like, just the ability to get there and compete is what allows you to go home and put your head on your pillow and go to sleep calmly. If you're first, second, third, whatever that ends up being, as long as you know that you showed up, you gave the highest effort you could, you executed well, and you were able to compete and feel like yourself, it's hard to walk away from those things disappointed.
All right, let's move on to something a little bit different, and that is, you have a big week. Proven has a big week. You mentioned that out there, there's chaos going on. CrossFit is there with their production team. It's been a crazy week from a shift of what they were doing. Tia was supposed to be in it. Because of the wrist injury, she could not be there. My first question about that is, you're in the open. It's top 25%. Is it more important to get through the open healthy or get through it well?
Yeah, I think this open probably more than others has shown a very clear, in my opinion, shift in how HQ views the open. The first two events have been and I like it. Like, I think it is for the good of the community as a whole. The first two events, from an affiliate standpoint, are so approachable and easy to run in an affiliate. Since there's been no floor plans, no tape marks, like, it is no different than you just setting up your class as you normally would. It's kind of like when it was the old five workout open days where there was no floor plans, and you can just go at it. And the movements have been extremely user friendly, where you have just the burpees and the dumbbell snatch in week one. You have the row, deadlift, and double under. So you introduce a little skill with the double unders, but it's in a fashion where people can, like, work through a set if they don't have them to still kind of get a workout in. And then this week, I'm guessing that we'll see some more skills introduced. I mean, I feel like you have to hang from something in the open at some point in order to, like, have this be the first qualification stage of the games. But I genuinely think that the way it's been set up, this is the leaderboard, I know we just talked about the leaderboard placement, is a lot less important this open, it feels, than it has been in previous ones. With the quarterfinals, if the programming for quarterfinals stays similar to how it has been in the past, that is a clear delineation. Like, the quarterfinal workouts are no joke. That is where you see the loading, the skill, the volume get to a point where what makes those athletes special starts to get on display. So it really, really is about just feeling good about giving a good effort, getting some practice videoing your stuff properly for quarterfinals, and just getting through the open clean. You train through the open and you get yourself ready for quarters.
And healthy.
Yes, healthy. Yeah. So like in for Tia's example, it's like it really is just that. Will she be able to do the workout, whatever it is? I'm sure she will. Would she have been able to do it at the level that she holds herself to in the and like feel confident enough to give the show that she would want to give and compete on the floor? Like, probably not to what the standard she holds herself. So it's really just about take a few extra days, probably get to Sunday or Monday, give the wrist a few more days, and then just be able to kind of do the workout, get through it healthy. I have an athlete. So Lucy, you mentioned earlier, for anyone that follows her, she was 15th in the world in week one, in the world, like absolutely smashed it. And then had a massive drop off in week two, and it's because she's sick. But the good news is, we only need to get her in the top 25%, which she'll be able to do as sick as she is right now, just to get a score on the board. We're just talking, the whole idea is just get her healthy. So that way she feels good going in the quarters as well.
Yeah. And so before I jump to quarters, cause I think there's some important questions there. It's, so this week, I talked about this with Ariel. You know, it's really an honor to be picked to do a CrossFit announcement.
Yeah.
And Ariel kind of expanded that by saying it's really important to be the last week. Like, that's where they let the legends come in. And, you know, she referenced when Rich and Sam and Annie and all the champions went together in one announcement. Although it wasn't initially planned, Sydney and Jay get an opportunity to do a CrossFit Open announcement. Jay came on the scene in a ball of fire last year and has proven in the offseason he is someone to contend with.
Yeah.
And this could be a nice spotlight for him. With Sydney, you know, in all honesty, she's been in her sister's shadows for a long time, but she made the games last year. Brooke did not. And it's an opportunity for her to show her stuff on a big stage. As the director of Elite Athletes, how do you feel for your athletes getting this opportunity?
I'm psyched. I'm so psyched. Like I mentioned earlier, it's like a home game in a sport where like they're going to be able to do this in their own comfort and their own affiliate with their coaches around. And talking about those two, like Jay is a gnarly fit dude. He's always been a fit guy, but when he connected with Shane, there something agreed really well with that relationship and with Shane's ability to kind of work with him, where he was able to show what he can really, really do last year. And the dude is fit, and you can see it. I know I said the open leaderboard's not that important, but the scores he's put up in the open so far, like, again, it shows like he is a fit dude. And I'm very excited for the rest of the world to get to see him do his thing in the spotlight. And then like from a person standpoint, he's like the sweetest man, like that you like. I don't think I've ever seen him not smile. Like, he's just such a nice, awesome person that I hope that also comes through in the interviews and the performance, and people watching him do his thing, because he deserves to be up there for sure. And Sydney Wells, you mentioned it. I mean, yes, Brooke was here for a long time, and Brooke was here first, and Brooke has had a ton of success. And she's going to go down as one of the legends of the sport for as long as she's been around, and the success that she's had and the impact that she's had on the floor. But Sydney is crazy fit. And from the outside looking in, until like I get to see it every day, I saw her at semifinals a little bit last year, but it wasn't my focus. So I didn't get a really good chance to see what was going on. The girl's fit, man. Like, she is no joke. You do not accidentally qualify for the CrossFit Games, this day and age. Like there is no accidental qualifying for the games. Like she puts in the work every day. Her and Sid Mikalishan have a great relationship here and they push each other every day. And it's fun to see Sid Wells get out there, do her thing on the stage and be able to show that, like, no, it's not a fluke that she made it last year. She is the real deal. You don't get handed a game spot unless you earn it.
I completely agree. We were privileged enough to do her first ever podcast. She's an amazing individual. And watching her at semis, if you look at the way she has performed, she has one hole. She has one hole that gets her every year. And other than that, her performances are top notch. Like she is super fit.
100%. And what she did last year is one of the most, we were actually talking about it earlier today. One of the most impressive things I've ever seen. I don't think you'll ever see it happen at a semifinal again, where she had the issue in the ruck ring muscle ups last year, which placed her so far down on the leaderboard, to then keep her wits about her for the remainder of that weekend and not let that one event crush her, come back, win an event later in the semifinal, and like get herself in there. And she wasn't the last person to qualify. Like she was in there. So it was a testament to her ability as a competitor. And she's been competing for a long time. She was a D1 track athlete. Like she knows what she's doing. And again, I'm psyched to see her and CJ in the spotlight, be able to throw down. It's cool that like Roman's a fit dude. I'm excited to see Jay like get a chance to do it next to him. And Ariel's a total absolute badass and just like one of the nicest people in the space that you'll ever meet. And her husband is just a cool dude as well. So it's a really nice group that we have here to do this. And we're lucky to get to host the whole thing.
Last comment, and it's just about Jay. You know, it's a lot of people have come to the games and had a good year. What Jay did to back it up at Rogue proved to me that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Like he is here to stay and he's still young.
Yeah, he's the real deal. And not to mention, like he's in town, he'll be here through quarters. Maddie Sturt also, who's been in the space for a long time, four-time games athlete, I think, is looking fit too. And they train together and she's in town as well. So it's just like, we've got a really, really good thing going here. And all of the elite athletes that we have on our team that we get the chance to work with, and even some of our developmental athletes that I know that are going to be at semis that I've built relationships with this year. It's like, we're really lucky with the feel of the people that we have here and we couldn't be happier.
So I'm going to move on to your core athletes that you had at Comtrain, which was Sydney Mikalishan, Caroline Stanley, and Lucy McGonigal.
Yep.
All three followed you to Proven, correct?
They did. Lucky me.
So that says a lot about your coaching ability and the relationships that you build with your athletes, that they were willing to pick up where, I mean, Sydney moved from Boston to Nashville to come with you. What does that mean to you to see your athletes that dedicated to you as a coach?
It's awesome. It truly means the world. And I tell them, I'm like they're going to have to get rid of me. Like I'm in this with them for the long haul. And I told Sid from day one, I was like, imagine, and I've told this to Caroline and Lucy, like, I hope that in 10 years, we're still doing this together. Because if in 10 years, we're still doing this together, that means we've done some pretty dope stuff along the way. And for them to still have that level of confidence to want to keep this thing going and feel comfortable and confident in what I can do for them and how much I'm invested in them is so, so cool. And for Sid to, like you said, like she picked up, like she had established like some really close friends and relationships when we were up there. And for her to basically say, wherever you go, I go. It's just like as a coach, and especially coming off how the season went last year, where it's so easy. And it happens where other coaches and other camps are going to see that as a sign and an opportunity to poach an athlete away. And those things tried to happen. And for her to still have that level of confidence in what we're doing and what we're building and the relationship that we've had, it means everything to me. And that is a really big measure of my success as a coach. And then the fun part on the side is the stuff that happens on the floor. But yeah, Caroline, Lucy, Sid, they rock. We're going to be doing this together for a very, very long time, I hope. And like I told them, they're going to have to get rid of me because I'm in this for the long haul.
So I'm going to go down through a couple things with each athlete that you brought with you. And we talked about Sid winning TFX, which was a nice bounce back for her after this, because we followed her all last season.
I know.
On this podcast. And it was heartbreaking at semis.
Yeah.
And so it was really good to see her get a win just for confidence purposes. But I was scrolling through Instagram today, and I'm going to share a screen real quick. She made a post. The knock on her has always been her running ability. She made a post today. I'm going to bring it up here, of her running on an air runner.
Yeah.
And more than the speed, it's the form.
Yeah.
Like the form has completely changed, and it got me so excited about her season coming up. You as her coach, are you seeing the same thing?
Oh my God. Yeah. So this is what you get when you're able to invest the time in an athlete and you build that relationship and the coach and athlete stay together. This has been something that has been in the works. This is our third year working together now for years to completely rewire the way an athlete runs. And they do it under fatigue, what you're seeing here. It's easy in drills. Like, we can drill this thing out. But you look at her landing position on this side, but it's like that midfoot, like, landing position, the ability to pull through. Like, it's awesome. She has spent so much time at the track. We are there all the time. Like, this has been a focus, and it just takes time for these things to really click so that you don't have to think about it. And this video is awesome because this is under fatigue. These are hard interval repeats that she's doing, and she's still able to maintain that form under that type of fatigue. This is one of, like, lifts are cool. This was awesome.
And lifts have never been her problem. She's plenty strong enough.
Yeah. She is a crazy strong and powerful lady. The sandbag event, the sandbag ladder where she got fourth, I think that year, like, she will always be a strong lady. What's making her extremely special and more dangerous now is we're bringing the other things up to match what she's really, really good at. And if the thing she's good at just stays here and we bring up the floor on just these other things, she's a different athlete. And this is such a cool example of that. She has worked so hard on her running. This was so cool to see.
Well, after following her last year, I will always be one of her biggest fans. And I'm so stoked to see this season. So if we move on to Caroline Stanley, because we're running low on time. Every time I talk to you, like, time just flies by.
It does.
So maybe we need to make this a more frequent occurrence. But
I'm good, man.
Caroline Stanley makes it to the games her first year ever last year, and finishes at least through one cut. Like, that has to be a huge win for a rookie.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you
that relationship and that experience.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. So with Caroline, we were put in touch by a third party person who owned an affiliate that she was working out at. Caroline had been to semis a couple years, and was around the same spot both times, wasn't able to crack through. They reached out, we got in touch, started working together. And it was just great. Like, she's such a really just genuine, down to earth person. And a lot of it just has to do, like, her family is great. Like, they own this massive farm, like this cattle farm that she works on and everything, but she's, great. And then what you said at the games, like, the cuts at the games, regardless what your opinion is on them, and we could probably talk about that in another episode, is that when you get there, that is the fear. It's like, you want to be able to take the whole test. You train all year. You want to get to the games. You're like, I want to take every test that they can throw at me possible, no matter what it is. But the catch is, the last few years, like, you got to be able to get there to be able to do them. So she went into the final event of day two for Helena in like 31st, or just on the outside looking in, knowing that she needed to do her thing in order to get herself to the next day to buy three more events to be able to showcase her stuff a little bit more. she's one of the most competitive people I've ever met in my life. And when she stepped out onto the floor for that event, I knew we were going to be in good hands, and she chased down someone in that third round and was able to pull ahead. So it was, last year was really cool getting to experience that for the first time with her at semis, seeing her experience it through the games. She's a fitter version of herself this year, and she's a more experienced athlete now, which for her is really, really dangerous for everyone else.
So the crazy thing for her is she's in the East, which is murderer's row if you're a female athlete. We hear about all these people that are not competing this year. Only one of them is from the East. Right? The East is not changing. She made it through there last year, and it was murderer's row then. One, how did that experience help her to get to the game or get her at the games? And this year, do you just kind of put that aside and just you against you?
Yeah, the margins are so narrow at any competition you go to, whether it is TFX or semifinals. The names that you see at East is that kind of murderer's row type of thing. But at the same time, like you never are competing against someone else in the field. As weird as that sounds, like you each have your own lane. It's not like football or basketball where like you can impede the progress of the person next to you. It's like, it's silly to think that you could. Can you imagine full contact CrossFit? Someone goes three lanes down, throws a dumbbell out of the way. But yeah, so it's like you have to just go there and do your thing. And last year with Caroline, we knew what she potentially was going to do. I remember telling someone, I think it was like Patrick Clark, I was like, she's going to go there and she's going to ruin someone's weekend that doesn't know it yet, because I know what she's bringing to this competition. And what's kind of cool is like, I still don't think anyone knows anything about her or who she is or what she's capable of to show up to this thing. And when she's going to compete, it really just is like, she's going to be on the floor. Her and I, from a coach athlete standpoint, of how we manage these weekends and the ups and downs of these things is better than it was last year. So like her ability to show up and compete on the floor is one of the better athletes I've seen. She will always compete something better than she trains it. She is a PTP or a primetime player. She shows up under the lights and gets the job done. So in this murderer's row of the East, I promise you, she's going to be kind of thought about at the back end of that talent list, when in reality, like, no, she's right square in the middle of it. And she has home run potential, which is always dangerous in a semifinal.
It's not every day I get to hear a Dickie V reference in the middle of a podcast.
Man, I listened to so much Dick Vitale when I was growing up, calling Terps basketball games, Terps versus Duke in Carolina.
Oh, that's why I love having you on. So let's move on to Lucy. Lucy is a teen athlete. If you were not paying attention at the games last year, you missed one hell of a competition in the 16, 17-year-old division with Lucy and Trista.
Yeah.
And Lucy prevailed. She competed in Europe last year at the semifinals, probably another murderer's row of athletes. Yeah. She's going to have to come out of that region again this year. And she's so young. So how do you like realistically set expectations for her going into semis this year?
Yeah. So last year semis was zero expectations. So that was the last semifinal of the final weekend of semifinals last year. We got to watch everyone else go. So we went into that just like, hey, I want you to just get used to being in the warm-up area and seeing Annie Thorsdottir warming up next to you and Gabby Magala and Laura. Like, just get used to being there and seeing that these athletes are in the same competition that you're in. And that was it. It was like, just go there, have some fun, and let's just get some competition experience in that stage. We learned a ton. I didn't over strategize anything for her. I let her go out there, take some swings when she wanted to. And it was just a really cool experience by the end of the weekend to go through that with her. Semifinals this year, the goal is just to be able to go and compete. I want her to be able to go there and have this more of an experience like we treated the games last year, where it is, hey, this is how we want to handle this thing. This is how we want to go in this. This is going to be our, if she qualifies through there, it's like we're able to go there and feel like we are competing the whole time. Not necessarily that we are just along for the ride. However that works out at the end of the weekend is irrelevant. I mean, if she cracks through, I wouldn't be surprised. It would be cool. If not, also really doesn't matter at this point. Like the runway on her career is so long that we're really just picking up experience points along the way. But I can tell you that it's going to be a mindset approach where she's going to show up to try and compete this year, have some fun. We're going to take measured risks this year and have a little bit more of a dialed approach of how we want to handle this. And go that route. And a quick backstop, that 1670 division with her and Tristan last year was probably the best race of the games. Like, and I know Tristan and her family from years ago, a comp train before they moved up with Adam and them. It was awesome to watch. That was so fun.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not paying attention to the age groups, you're missing out on a lot.
So, there are some good runs in the age groups.
There are. And we were there for all of it, and it was so much fun to be there. But
yeah,
shoot, I lost my track. So you have these three athletes all last year, and even with three athletes, you have to go to the East, you have to go to the West, you have to go to Europe 3 weeks in a row, and you're kind of on the run for 3 weeks of your life during semis. This year, you're now at proven over all elite athletes. So how do you keep balance, and now you're over so many more athletes than the three you had last year?
Yeah, so I'm really, really lucky with the coaching team that we have under this proven banner. So the obvious ones are myself, Dwight, and Shane, who are in-house here. The good news is our CEO, like, gets you a CEO that can do both. Like, he was a coach for years before he stepped out of that role and into this role. So we have Nick that is able to step in and be a world-class coach for some of these athletes if and when needed. Our remote coaches that we have now, we have Tim Paulson, who is a remote coach, who I don't know if I need to introduce him to anyone. We have Joey Totoro, who has been a coach in this space and an athlete for a very long time as well. He was a coach with Brute for a long time. He was a team athlete.
Joey is one of my favorite people in this space.
Joey is awesome. And like, so he has been paired up with Colton, and I'm telling you, I couldn't have found a better match for two people to be on this ride and this journey together with him being paired with Colton. It's been awesome so far. And a lot of the structure and calmness that Colton is getting out of this season now, and his ability to just show up and train, is because of Joey. And Joey is, he gets it. Like, it's been such a good match. And then on top of that, a coach that probably is one of the best coaches in this space that has been around for a long time that I don't think anyone knows about because it's just not in his nature. It's Dave Charbonneau, who prior to being with us had his own programming company with Tim, Forged by Zeus. So between the three coaches we have here, Nick, the three remote coaches that we have, the bench of coaches we have here is about as deep as you could possibly find anywhere. All of our athletes reap the benefits of that, so that not, and this is what I talked about earlier, we're not going to grow this camp any more than we have the ability and the bandwidth to provide for the athletes that we're coaching. We have the coaches to back that up, so that when all these coaches go to these different places, they're going to have support of a coach on their bag in order to help them through these things. So while I will be collecting some flyer miles again this year, I will not be alone in any of this by any means. So I couldn't be luckier to have the coaches that we have to back this whole thing up.
Just one sidebar question for you. Is Sid going to be in the West again this year?
She will be. Yes.
Okay. So yeah, you're split up all over the place again.
Last year's travel was gnarly because it went East, West, Europe. Thanks for that, HQ. So I went East, I went Orlando, I went home for 2 days to see my wife, went West, caught the flight from LA straight to Berlin, flew right over Boston because that would have just been silly to stop there for a night to do that. I think the flow of it works out better this year. I think it goes Europe, East, West, I think. But regardless, it should be a little smoother. But I need to make sure I stop home in between these things, because like I got, my wife's got a baby due within like the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to be, I got a lot going on, man.
Wow. Yeah. I can't even imagine, because I did the first two legs with you.
Yeah.
It was that third leg. I bagged out.
I saw a few people at all three. I think Kotler was off. Oh, no, Kotler wasn't at East, I don't think, but I think Jake Marconi was my travel buddy with me. I saw him all over the world when we were doing it last year.
After he cut his hair, I barely recognize him.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's like I think he said he had his hair so long for his hair that long for so long, and he finally cut. But nah, guy's handsome. He's sharp. He's a fit dude.
Oh yeah, still good looking dude. I just didn't know who he was.
Exactly.
So this is way off the topic, but I'm going here because I think it's cool, and we only have 5 minutes left.
Okay.
I was looking at your Instagram, and you are chasing an ultra marathon.
Yeah, I'm giving it. I've had two attempts, but yeah, I like to. So the thing that attracted me to CrossFit was this thing. It's like no one else is going to do it because it's so hard, and that was like the thing that attracted a lot of us to it. It's like this is harder than anything I've ever done. I want to do it because I know no one else is going to do it. And then one night, a couple years ago, I went down this rabbit hole of like trail running documentaries in like 2019 or something like that. I was like, this is gnarly. This is hard. I want to give this a shot. I've had two attempts. The first one, I kind of tweaked my leg at like mile 55 and had the withdrawal. And then I did another one up in Massachusetts where the weather and the fog, like I got lost off course and had to pull out from a time cap at like mile like 35 or 39 or something like that. But yeah, there's another one in Tennessee that I'm eyeing up in October, so maybe I'll get it done there. But yeah, trying to get one of these 100-mile races done. But I absolutely love the solitude of it, the training for it. It's a really, really cool discipline that I've had a lot of fun messing around with.
So how does it work? Like you have to get through gates, or you're pulled from the course?
Yeah. So the most recent one they'll have. Like basically you have to get to a certain aid station at a certain time in order to, it's kind of like having a time cap. So each aid station has a time cap. And I think it was like, it was like 12:30 or 1 a.m. And it was this torrential downpour, fog. I'm going through the mountains of Massachusetts, like up a ski slope. And by the time I got down, I think it took me 50 minutes to complete 1 mile because I just couldn't find the course anymore. And then, oh, there I am. Yeah, that was dope. The Mid-State Massive. But yeah, it was a really cool experience. As you can see, the weather was absolutely beautiful for a New England fall day. It was really cool. I've really enjoyed it. Since I've moved here, I've been trying to find some training spots to get it done. But yeah, it's a really, really fun community. It's really, really cool. It's a lot of fun. I've enjoyed it. I can't wait to kind of dive back into it again. And now I know that my time is going to be a lot less with the kid on the way, but I'm gonna figure out. My wife, she keeps telling me I have to finish it as well, so I'm gonna have to get one of these things done.
Kenneth says, "Starvation try?" Question mark.
Starvation try? Are you telling me to do a triathlon without eating any food? So I've done it. I've done an Ironman before in 2019. That was kind of my first exploration into long endurance sports. And that was dope. That was really, really fun. I enjoyed that. And I think that's kind of what like started scratching the itch for me that found me into these trail runs. But it's been cool. And on the side note of just kind of bring it full circle, I love diving into these disciplines. I think there was a time I went like a year and a half where I just Olympic weightlifted and like dove into that hard. So I learned that discipline a lot better. Endurance sports, I have a really good understanding on running endurance sports, fueling, all of that stuff. So all of these things, I'm basically a human lab to myself so that I can then pull some of these things, these high takeaways for the athletes at the end of the day. So it's fun for me to chase some stuff and then come here and help them as well.
Corey says, dude, that sounds terrible.
I'll tell you what, it's really exciting at first. It gets really hard at one point. And then from what I understand, since I haven't got there yet, once you get to sunrise the next day, because you basically start at like 7 or 8 a.m. one in the morning one day, most of these races have like a 31 to a 34-hour time cap overall. So you go the entire day. That's pretty cool. You get to nighttime. You have to turn your headlamp on. It's equally some demons and like some, like your head goes a bunch of different ways, but it's also equally incredibly peaceful to have the solitude of just this one head beam of light is the only thing that guides your path as you go through. And then from what I understand, I'll let you know, hopefully next time when you get the sunrise, you probably get this gnarly, just adrenaline rush of finally seeing the sun again and getting the warmth of the sun. So it's pretty cool, man. And plus you get all kinds of new gear. I got into CrossFit also because I like buying a lot of gear. So I got like the vest you saw, I got these gnarly shoes. So it's really fun. And if the 100 is one version of that, a 50K is a 32-mile run. That is way more approachable. I know it doesn't sound like it, but trust me, on a lot of these trails, you're not running the whole time anyway, guys. As long as you just keep moving forward, you're going to be just fine. So Corey, give it a shot, man.
Corey's response, 34-hour time cap sounds like, oh, no, thank you.
I'll tell you what else it does, Corey. Your 20-minute AMRAP is going to seem like a lot less time all of a sudden. It changes the perspective of what a long workout actually is. So Corey looks fit too, man.
What's that?
Corey looked fit. I was looking at the picture he has there. He looks way fitter than I am.
So he loves you. He had been with Comptrain. His affiliate had been with Comptrain for a while. So he's been following you for a long. I actually know Corey pretty well.
Oh, hell yeah.
He has a goal to make the games when he turns 50.
Oh, let's go, Corey. How old is he now?
46 or 47.
Oh, that's dope. Yeah. So he sounds like, I love that. So my CrossFit ultimate goal real quick here, I'm just going to try and outlast everybody. I know right now there is no chance I'm hitting it. I've seen some graphs where like the age 40 age group is where you get a little bit of a drop off. So if I just stay as fit as I am with my numbers when I'm 60, I think I'm going to be able to slide my way in there. But Corey, man, go get it. You look fit, man. And it's very, very cool. I appreciate you. 46 about to be 47. Yeah, dude. Man, you look fit as hell.
So
I'm about to be 40 next year. So next year I'll be in the 40 age group.
So Corey went to Masters Fitness Collective this year, qualified in the RX division. And I think you'll be okay with me at the bottom of the qualifications.
Sure.
In person, killed it.
Love it. Hell yeah.
Won an event and finished like up near the top in the RX division. So now it's just like, increasingly get better and figuring out online comp stuff.
And it's that online qualifiers are weird, man. It's hard to go to that place in an online qualifier. Sports are meant to be done in person. You're meant to line up next to the person that you're going through this thing with. I dream of a day, especially for the elites, where online qualifiers are a thing of the past. I don't think we're anywhere near that happening. I've got a lot of thoughts on that, but get yourself in in-person competitions. That's where you really get a chance to kind of square up and do your thing. So like, and Corey's like Caroline, I was saying, PTP, man, shows up under the lights.
Exactly. That is exactly how he is. So my last question to this was, how much has CrossFit helped you with these other endeavors, like diving into a triathlon, diving into these ultras?
Yeah, I think a lot. I think it's helped my ability to stay durable during the training. So the training of these things is the hardest part. Like, to be able to show up, put in these 1 to 4 hour training runs, to go out and put in these miles, to go up and down these mountains, because a lot of these trail runs are all about elevation gain and loss as well. I think I've never been a great CrossFit athlete, but I've been pretty decent. And I think that my ability and my history of training CrossFit has just made me a lot more durable to withstand the beating that you take when you train like a runner like that. Running, I think, is the most injury prone sport on the planet. And I think a lot of it is because everyone's very imbalanced. CrossFit has given me the absolute, and I think this is what the program was originally intended to do. It gives me the absolute best foundation that if you give me 3 months, I can pretty much get ready for just about any athletic endeavor that I would want to do. And that is what I love.
So what you're saying is CrossFit is preventing injuries that running causes. That's such a weird
That's crazy. Don't put that under my name. I wouldn't stand behind that. Absolutely, man. It's been great. CrossFit has made me more durable, better put together to withstand the training, to be able to go and do any crazy athletic challenge that I want to do, from a CrossFit competition to a weightlifting competition to an ultra marathon. You give me 8 to 12 weeks, and I can pretty much get myself in fighting shape to go have fun and do any of those things.
Well, as always, Jarrett, man, it's a blast hanging out with you. Again, I only get through half my notes every time, like, we talk. You go down an avenue, and I just go with you.
I love it, man. It's been fun. I absolutely love being on here. I love being on your show. I think the feel and the flow and the just how you go about what you do is very welcoming and comforting in the space. And I know that you probably love this sport as much, if not more, than anyone else in the space. And it shows. And I appreciate everything you do as well, my man.
Well, thank you so much. One quick last comment. Hi-Li looks pretty injury prone.
That sport looks gnarly. Correction, I will not be participating in Hi-Li, although I was a baseball pitcher, so I might be okay.
There you go. All I know it from is the opening of Miami Vice. That's how old I am. Other than that, not a clue. But with that, thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you for the chat, for joining in. Thank you, Jarrett. And good luck this week as you have the big open announcement tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
If you get any hints, send them our way.
I got you.
With that, we will catch everybody next time on the Clydesdale Media Podcast. Bye, guys. C4 Energy, Extend, and CelluCor are delivering the most effective, best tasting, and highest quality products for you. Get 20% off when you use the code Clydesdale at checkout at C4energy.com. That's C4energy.com. And now back to the interview.